It's the year 1977 in England, and a family in a remote country house finds themselves under the suspicion of murder as a detective tries to solve the mystery. It's the story of It Could Be Any One of Us, which the Therry Dramatic Society is bringing to Arts Theatre. I'm joined now by one of the cast members, Ben Todd, to hear about it. Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
No worries, a pleasure. Thank you.
So tell us about the production. What's the story behind it?
Well, the story is set in a British manor which has fallen into disrepair, so it's past its prime. And there's a family of wannabe artists, three children who live in the house, trying to create their art and not particularly succeeding. So there's the older brother who owns the house now, because he got the house when the mother passed away.
Oh yeah.
And the other two children live with him. They don't particularly get along, the three of them, and he's got so annoyed with them that he basically tells them that when he dies, that the house is going to pass to someone else, and they're out. And which is one of his former music students that he taught for about 6 months. So there wasn't a great relationship there, and they, I suppose, take offence to it. And without giving too much away, a murder ensues. And the sister, so there's a younger brother who I play, and there's an older sister.
Oh, yeah.
And her boyfriend, who was a wannabe, so Sherlock Holmes, is probably ends up more being like Inspector Clouseau. he tries to solve the murder, and involved in that is her daughter and the person who's going to inherit the house, which is the former student, who's Wendy Winwood.
Oh yeah, it sounds really intriguing. It's like, I guess, what kind of genre would you call that, a mystery?
It's sort of a, yeah, murder mystery, definitely comedy, but with elements of murder mystery in there. So it's, yeah, it's a little bit complex. It can be a little bit complex, but it's certainly a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, and it's been previously written, hasn't it, and just adapted?
That's right, yeah. Yep. It was first written, I believe, in by Alan Ackbourne, the playwright, in 1983. But when he first wrote it, there wasn't actually a murder involved, so he had this whole mystery thing, but no murder.
Oh,
and then in 1996, he revisited it, and he actually added the murder back into the script.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds like the murder is quite integral for the storyline.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I suppose he didn't show the murder or the actual death, but that sort of been rewritten in and now has three potential endings of the whodunit, who did do it.
Okay, yeah. So you've adapted it again, like quite a lot.
We've kept the script as it is.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things we've had to do is we've had to, as actors, learn three endings. So each night there is the potential to be a completely different ending. It is essentially drawn out of a hat on the night. So the audience doesn't know, the actors don't know until it's actually drawn. Or the audience won't know until it's revealed, but the actors, we don't know until we're on stage that night which ending we're doing that night. So we've had to learn three endings, which has been a challenge. But
it's a really interesting idea. So is that to test your improv skills?
I hope so, but hope not at the same time, because they're three scripted endings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain clues. Once it's established with us who the murderer will be, so that we know, there are certain I suppose it's almost choose your own murderer. We have to sort of steer the play in a certain path to make sure that makes sense to the audience at the end. So that's taken a lot of rehearsal and a lot of sorting out in the minds, and I think we will be we'll be open next week. So we'll be working really hard between now and then to make sure that we don't go on the wrong path every night.
Yeah, because I imagine putting on a play would be hard enough as it is, but that's just a whole another challenge to it then.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's the first time I've come across it where there's multiple endings, so yeah, particularly last week, we've rehearsed the three different endings quite hard to make sure that they are ingrained, so we don't sort of steer us down the wrong track. Otherwise, the audience will walk away probably confused. But we will get there, and I think it'll be interesting for audiences to come along and early on, once the murder actually occurs, for them to sort of, I think when people either watch a movie or watch a play where a murder occurs, and it could be any one of them, which is a nice tie to the title. And I think that people immediately try and work out, okay, I think it's this person. But I don't know if they will actually get that, whether the clues are going to be clear enough in this show, which I think is one of the great things about it, is that you might think that it is someone, but it may actually not.
Oh, that's interesting.
Depending on the night. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think people like to think they're more smarter than the lead character.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they probably are in this case, because he's the bumbling detective.
Yeah. What kind of audience would you say it's targeted towards, sir?
I think everyone. Therese's audience, they have a wide-ranging age range as far as audiences go. So it's appropriate, I would think, appropriate for pretty much the whole family. I think kids who like a little bit of intrigue from, say, 12 onwards, they'd enjoy it. All the way up to our our seniors.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. The seniors, they absolutely love this genre from speaking to them in the past and family who come along to see these sorts of shows. I said, I love murder mystery on stage.
I'm speaking with Ben Todd. He's from the upcoming production It Could Be Any One of Us. And so what would you say are the highlights of this production? Is there like sort of the costumes or the writing or...?
Oh, I think it's the interaction between the characters. They're all very, very different. So with Mortimer, who is the older brother who inherits the house, he's quite quite bitter. He's quite bitter about the fact that his work, none of their work has been recognised anywhere. And he's the musician of the family. And his work has not been recognised anywhere. And he feels underappreciated by his brother and sister, I think, for the fact that he's had them allowed them to live in this house. Yeah. And they don't appreciate his work. And I play Brinton, who is a younger brother who is quite the man-child. He hasn't really grown up. He still is quite mothered by Jocelyn, his older sister. And he's a painter, and he thinks his work is great. Nobody else does. As is evident during the show, and Jocelyn is a writer who really hasn't produced anything, and none of them have produced anything of note.
Oh, yeah.
Are
they all a bit quirky? It sounds like
I think they're very quirky. Yeah, as a family, highly dysfunctional, highly dysfunctional. And then there's Jocelyn's daughter Amy, who's quite the punk. So she's quite the rebel because they are quite stuck in. Even though this is set in the 70s, they're quite stuck in the 50s. This family, and she's quite the rebellious sort of teenager as a sort of a as people were when they turned punk in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. And what are you hoping the audience sort of takes away from it, or is left feeling at the end of the night?
One of the things that I think, which is referenced in the play, is really to get some art into your life, and it's really weird that I came across that the other week when somebody was. Well, it was one of the lines that one of the characters said, and I sort of thought, well, yeah, because I think, and this is probably quite deep for the show, but I think that in some ways, and it's quite relevant today, like art, all forms of art are quite can be underappreciated. I mean, nothing against it, because I'm into it as well, but, sport, we're quite, in Australia, and particularly in South Australia, we're quite a sport oriented state, which is great. I've got nothing against that, because I love sport as well. But I think, and as much as and amazing as Adelaide Fringe is, there is all sorts of art happening throughout the year in South Australia. And hopefully this will get some art into your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think we're such a sporting nation, and there's a lot of really talented artists that probably don't get the attention they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much, and our city is perfectly set up. I think we have all these lovely little nooks and crannies that are happening, and we sort of need to get the word out about that there's all this amazing stuff happening.
It's nice that a play like that gives that kind of message as well.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope that people get that message. They may not. I was looking through and going, what kind of message am I getting from this? And then that just came to me one night. So in a weird and twisted way, I think that's the message that I'm taking away from the show.
Do you remember what line it was?
It is actually a line of Jocelyn's who encourages her boyfriend, so the bumbling detective, who doesn't have an artistic bone in his body, and you know, I don't think he particularly appreciates the arts. He's quite methodical and scientific in his way of being, and she sort of exclaims to him, get some art into your life, you know, writing, painting, sculpting, whatever it is, just get some art into your life. And that just stuck with me one night when we were rehearsing, so yeah.
Oh yeah, so true. And how are you finding playing your character? Do you identify with him a lot?
a man-child. he's been great fun to play. And I think the more that I relax and let loose, the more fun he is. Mm. As a character, going into the story, he was – so this Wendy Winwood, he knew her and he was besotted with her 20 years ago when they were young people, and yeah, absolutely. And so she's back, and he doesn't react very well initially, and then he continues to be besotted with her again. She's now married and has kids, and he sort of goes through the machinations, I think, of being besotted with her again, and at the same time he's very much mothered by Jocelyn, and yeah, he's unwieldy. I think everybody knows somebody like Brinton, so
probably.
Yeah, I think that at certain times I am Brinton, which are the bad times. I hope that people will come along and sort of just have a laugh and go, I know someone like that, or I remember when I was like that on this occasion.
And that's probably the beauty of acting, to be able to sort of express that side of you.
Absolutely.
In a fun way.
Yeah. To let it out, and to sort of go, well, this is an occasion, an opportunity where I can do it without recourse. There's no sort of, for me as a person, there's no consequences for behaving like this. And it is actually good, I think, because in doing that in that space, it then calms me down as a person when I'm outside. So
it's interesting.
So yeah. I don't actually carry that into real life anymore, thank goodness, hopefully.
It's like a bit of therapy.
It is a little bit of therapy. I think acting is a little bit of therapy in a way. I enjoy being someone else, and I think that is quite therapeutic when you can step outside of yourself and whatever is going on in your life. And you can be someone else and refocus your attention for a little while.
Yeah. It's probably like all forms of art like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you get lost in it. And you go into, I think, Neil Finn, the songwriter, great songwriter, what he called having a bliss out, where he would just go into daydream mode. Yeah. And that's where part of his songs came from. And I think
I love that.
And I think the same thing happens in that, like, what I would call a riff. So once I get on a riff, something takes over. And I had that sort of the other night when I was doing a particular scene, and I was doing things that I'd never done before, that the director was fine with, Karen White, a wonderful director. He was great with it, because if a director doesn't say anything, then they're fine with it. But he was so I just sort of was doing these things, little things. And after, so where did that come from? I don't know where that came from, and it just sort of happened. And I think that's when I was relaxed and just sort of let it go and
let feeling it happen. Inspired.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how does this play compared to what you've done in the past?
Oh, this is probably unlike anything I've done in the past. I mean, as far as plays and/or musicals that I've done in the past, this is quite silly. It still has a message, but I've done quite serious plays in the past, as well as comedies. Love doing a comedy, but this sort of I think the multiple ending is definitely a challenge. It's something I've never ever come across before, and I think also the way that my character relates to all the other characters in the show, that's something that's fresh, which I really like.
And where are you hoping your career takes you?
Well, I think everyone dreams of the big time. I don't know if my future lies there, but I really enjoy being part of the sort of the amateur theatre community in Adelaide. Obviously, I do a bit of directing as well. So I think once I am feeling too old and too tired to sort of get up and act a lot, that I'm sort of pushing the directing a bit more now.
Oh, yeah.
As I head towards that, slowly, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other plays in the midst after this one?
No. It's audition season in Adelaide Amateur Theatre at the moment. So a lot of companies are putting up sort of audition notices for their shows for 2018. If they haven't cast them already, then, yeah, we're sort of into audition season. So I'm preparing for an audition for a show for next year. Currently, yeah.
Something to look forward to then?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks so much for joining me on the show this morning. It's been really great having you.
Thank you.